Salut tout le monde, bienvenue à ce nouvel épisode du FaberCast. Je suis votre animateur Faberglass et puis cette semaine, on reçoit deux combattants de l'UFC Vancouver qui arrivent le 14 septembre prochain. En fait, j'étais en train de dire n'importe quoi, moi là, c'est pas vrai. On reçoit un combattant de l'UFC Vancouver et une combattante de l'UFC Boston. La première invitée cette semaine, Jillian Robertson, fraîche de son incroyable performance à l'UFC 240 face à Sarah Frota. Où elle a gagné par TKO au deuxième round, c'était magnifique, une performance de grappling incroyable avec les frappes et tout, c'était génial. Moi, je fanboy devant cette performance de Jillian Robertson qui vient immédiatement de se trouver un combat, puis un combat qu'elle demandait, c'est contre Macy Barber, ça va avoir lieu à l'UFC Boston, puis ça va être des flamèches ce combat-là, ça va être vraiment quelque chose qu'on a très hâte de voir. Donc Jillian Robertson est ma première invitée, le deuxième invité est un combattant de l'UFC Vancouver, c'est Jeff Hughes, c'est un poids lourd, il affronte Todd Duffy qui est de retour somehow face à Jeff Hughes. Et on parle de ça, évidemment. On parle aussi de Stipe contre Daniel Cormier parce que c'est son coéquipier. Et on parle de la performance d'Alexa Kamour, son autre coéquipier qui vient de se mériter un contrat de l'UFC au Dana White Contender Series plus tôt cette semaine. Donc, avec Jeff Hughes et Jillian Robertson, c'est l'épisode de cette semaine. Mais avant ça, il faut que je me vide le cœur un peu. Faut que je fasse une petite rant sur quelque chose. Puis si vous avez écouté mon live stream de l'UFC 240, entre le combat à Marc-André Barrio et le combat à Olivier Aubin-Mercier, qu'est-ce que je dis là? J'ai comme un peu fait cette rant-là. Donc, si vous étiez à l'écoute, peut-être vous allez m'entendre me répéter. Vous allez peut-être juste vouloir skipper jusqu'aux entrevues. Mais sinon, il faut que je parle de la régie. Faut que je parle de Todd Stout, de ce qui arrive encore une fois. On a appris que Todd Stout a échoué un test à la très dangereuse substance qui est appelée cannabis. Et puis c'est ça, c'est très très dangereux là, cette substance-là. Si jamais vous savez pas c'est quoi, là, c'est... Écoutez, si vous prenez ça, vous devenez immédiatement accro. Là, vous avez besoin de vous injecter plein de doses de cannabis là, directement dans les veines. Puis tout, là, littéralement, c'est une des drogues les plus dangereuses au monde. Et puis... c'est ça, Todd Stout a fumé cette vilaine plante et puis il a testé positif pour le pot. Fait que là, il a été suspendu 4 mois. Il a dû... Sa victoire est devenue une défaite, sa mort par disqualification. Puis ça et tout, c'est drôle, mais c'est pas de ça que je veux parler, là, mais c'est drôle, lui, tout. Là, il ressort même le cas d'Adam Daichka là-dedans. Puis ouais, on va rétroactivement aller coller une défaite contre Bakary Sako. Puis ça s'est fait, hein, là, c'est vraiment rendu ça. Si vous allez sur Tapologie, ben Adam Daichka a bel et bien perdu contre Bakary Sako. Ben tu sais, ça c'est comme des fiches MMA. Là. Mais si quelqu'un voit ça, il dit oh mon dieu, Adam Daichka a perdu contre Bakary Sako, puis il cherche le combat. Et il va clairement avoir Adam Daichka allumé Bakary Sako au premier round. Ça changera jamais ce qui est arrivé au combat. Comme ça ne changera pas l'issue du combat de Todd Stout et Alan Bodo que de littéralement changer la décision en faveur d'Alan Bodo. Donc, c'est ça. C'est pas de ça que je veux parler. Je veux parler de quelque chose qui me dérange. C'est quelque chose que j'ai, en parlant justement de ça avec ma mère, là, carrément, ça m'a fait allumer que tabarnouche. C'est étrange la manière dont les tests positifs se sont déclarés. Dans le sens que, écoute, je veux pas sonner comme le poteux mécontent là ici là. Puis je veux pas être non plus le gars qui pète la coche contre la règle. Parce que je sais que la règle est la règle, ça je suis 100% conscient de ça. Est-ce que ça veut dire que la règle est intelligente? Est-ce que ça veut dire que la règle a lieu d'être? Non, crissement pas. Selon moi, la règle est littéralement dinosauresque là, genre médiévale, là. C'est incroyable de punir des athlètes comme ça. Mais moi, le problème que j'ai avec ça, c'est le fait que la commission, la régie des alcools et des courses et des jeux et de n'importe quelle autre affaire qui s'occupe d'eux, ils enlèvent 100% du salaire de cette personne-là pour le combat. On s'entend, Todd Stout a posé son nom sur un contrat qui, oui, stipule qu'il doit pas genre avoir pris de produits dopants et de blablabla. Toute la patente, c'est dans le contrat, c'est là. Il signe son nom là-dessus. Puis tu sais, le gars, le service a été rendu, là. Il a signé un contrat pour rendre un service qui est d'effectuer un combat d'art martiaux mix contre Alan Bodo. Il a rendu le service, puis la régie après avoir testé positif pour le cannabis, va lui enlever 100% de sa bourse. Pas, tu sais, on donne une amende, donne-nous 15% de ta bourse, donne-nous 20% de ta bourse, peu importe, tu sais, c'est comme ça que ça marche avec toutes les commissions athlétiques ou presque. Mais non, la régie, eux autres, ils saisissent 100% de la bourse. Puis là où j'ai un problème, puis là où ma rent comme prend son sens, selon moi, c'est que c'est qui? Depuis le retour de TKO, là, depuis les dernières années, c'est qui les combattants qui ont échoué des tests antidopage et qui ont dû, du fait même, donner 100% de leur salaire à la régie? C'est Todd Stout, c'est Ada Daichka et c'est Strania Gavrilovic. Qu'est-ce que ces trois combattants-là ont en commun? Font de grosses bourses, font de bonnes bourses. Je dirais pas que Todd Stout est l'athlète le mieux payé dans TKO, je le sais pas comment il fait. Mais Todd Stout a plusieurs combats en carrière, est un, sinon pas le meilleur, 205 livres actif au Canada, n'étant pas dans l'UFC présentement avec Teddy H, je sais que la discussion est là, mais bref, Todd Stout est le meilleur 205 au Canada, il gagne pas 450$ par combat, tu comprends, il fait des bonnes bourses, nécessairement, je sais pas si c'est 2000, 3000, je sais pas c'est quoi, mais il fait des bonnes bourses, des bourses qui ont probablement bien du bon sens à cause de son expérience. Strania Gavrilovic, on le sait tous, faisait de très bonnes bourses. C'est un combattant qui amène beaucoup de gens, qui vend énormément de billets, qui est spectaculaire. Ada Daichka aussi faisait de très bonnes bourses. Un poids lourd qui knock tout le monde, qu'il y a beaucoup de partisans qui se déplacent pour lui. C'est ça, si vous voyez, les gros vendeurs de billets puis les combattants avec de l'expérience commandent de plus grandes bourses que les combattants débutants. Là où j'ai un problème, c'est que je sais de source sûre, littéralement, que certains combattants ont fumé du cannabis, le très dangereux cannabis de drogue mortelle, et littéralement, là, entre la pesée puis leur combat. Littéralement, le soir, la veille de leur combat, ou quelques jours même avant la pesée, la semaine, parce que c'est des gens qui fument tout simplement tous les jours de leur vie. Et puis, je le sais, là, de source sûre, il y a des gars qui, à des événements de TKO, puis je nommerai pas des noms, quand ils ont vu qu'ils étaient testés, étaient comme un peu stressés parce qu'ils n'avaient pas arrêté de fumer, puis ils avaient littéralement fumé la veille du combat, puis le jour d'avant, puis le jour d'avant, puis le jour d'avant, puis le jour d'avant. Et jamais ces gars-là n'ont testé positif au cannabis, même si nécessairement entre tout pis moi, quand tu fumes à tous les jours de ta vie, tu vas popper en haut de la référence, qu'on le sait pas c'est quoi ça d'ailleurs, ça c'est une autre affaire, mais je pourrais en parler peut-être un peu après. On le sait pas c'est quoi le taux, là. On le sait pas, aux États-Unis avec USADA ou avec l'UFC, c'est 150 nanogrammes par 1000 litres de sang, c'est ça que faut pas que tu dépasses. Donc si t'es en bas, t'es correct pour le jour de la compétition, évidemment, parce que c'est légal out of competition, c'est pas légal in competition. Fait qu'ils savent, là, les athlètes de l'UFC peuvent se tester eux-mêmes, dire « Ok, là, j'étais à 150 mg, 175 mg, wow, 200 nanogrammes, désolé, de THC par 1000 litres de sang. Donc là, je dois réduire ma consommation pour tester en bas de ça si je veux pas, tu sais. » Il y a des barèmes qui sont établis au Québec, on ne laissait pas les crises de barèmes des fois. Je pense, dans le temps d'Adam Daichka, si je me rappelle bien, c'était comme 150, puis Adam, il n'y avait pas à 300 quelques, mais Todd Stout, ça a l'air qu'il y avait 100 nanogrammes, fait que c'est quoi le barème, on le sait pas vraiment, mais ça aussi étant dit, je le sais qu'il y a des athlètes qui ont fumé, genre littéralement dans la veille et les jours avant leur combat, puis qui se sont fait tester, puis qui étaient comme stressés à propos de tout ça dans l'aréna le soir du TKO, parce qu'ils venaient de se faire tester, puis ils avaient basically fumé, ils avaient entendu l'histoire d'Adam, puis ils avaient entendu l'histoire de Strania, puis ils disaient aïe, aïe. Ça y est, je vais me faire enlever 100% de la petite bourse que je fais parce que je suis un combattant qui a un contrat d'entrée ou qui a un ou deux combats avec TKO. Mais non, ces gens-là ne testent pas positif parce que qu'est-ce que la régie va colisser avec 600 ou 700 ou 800 piastres? Rien. Mais le gars qui fait genre 4000, genre parce qu'Adam, c'est ça qu'il a fallu qu'il remette à la régie, 4000$, c'est sa bourse pour ce combat-là, ça je pense que c'est un peu public, puis c'est le chiffre que je le sais. Pour Strania, je sais pas c'était combien, mais je sais que c'est un très bon montant aussi, puis pour Todd Stout, je sais pas c'est combien non plus, mais je sais que c'est un, tu sais, c'est pas 700$. Fait que non seulement, genre, la régie teste pour des drogues récréatives, puis vole 100% de la bourse des gars au lieu de prendre juste un pourcentage, mais genre, moi, je veux pas passer une théorie de conspiration, là. Je veux pas être le gars qui est là, ouais, je vous le dis, c'est facts proven, nanana, nanana. Mais, selon moi, Faber, Je semble constater que les seuls gens qui doivent remettre 100% de leur bourse à la régie parce qu'ils ont testé positif pour une drogue récréative sont des gars qui font des bonnes bourses. Puis les gars qui font pas des bonnes bourses, qui sont à début de carte puis qui font 600-700 piastres, eux autres, ben, ils fument asti comme ils veulent puis ils testent jamais positif parce que la régie n'en a pas rien à colisser de leurs 600 piastres. Mais le 4 000 piastres à la date d'HK, lui, par exemple, il est intéressant. T'sais, il y a de quoi en faire avec ça, 4 000 balles. Donc, c'est ça. C'est ça que j'avais à dire. Je trouve que c'est de. Personnellement, ça serait genre de. D'undersell la patente que je dise juste que c'est de l'estime de marde, mais je vais rien que dire ça. C'est de l'estime de marde pour vrai pour les combattants qui. Genre, entre vous et moi, là, que vous soyez d'accord avec la consommation de pot ou de poudre ou de sti, de n'importe quoi, parce que Strania, c'était pour la coke, mais sacrament. C'est quelqu'un qui va me dire qu'un gars qui a trop fait de coke esti la semaine avant son fight va arriver dans la cage en top shape. Genre, Chris, qu'est-ce que tu penses? Comme si le gars fume un pétard avant d'aller se battre, ce sera pas le fighter le plus allumé du monde, là, entre vous et moi. Dans la cage, ça se peut que son temps de réaction soit ordinaire. Donc, c'est ça, man. C'est ça que j'ai à dire là-dessus. Je le sais pas, je trouve ça plate pour les combattants qui investissent heures et heures dans leur entraînement, dans toutes leurs affaires, puis qui font pas des grosses bourses. Puis oui, TKO paye bien, paye même très bien ses athlètes comparé à d'autres promotions, mais. En dehors de l'UFC, puis, tu sais, en dehors de l'UFC, point. À moins que tu ailles dans le PFL, mais dans le PFL, tu peux gagner 1 000 000, peut-être tu gagnes un tournoi, c'est que tu as battu genre 13 autres dudes. Fait que c'est pas le favori en partant, on s'entend. Puis pour Bellator, c'était pas un vieux washed-up guy, tu feras pas des grosses bourses au Bellator en entrant, là. Donc, en dehors de l'UFC, les salaires sont pas incroyables en MMA. Puis ça, c'est une toute autre discussion qu'on pourrait avoir un autre jour, mais. Ces gars-là investissent tellement d'argent, de temps, de sueur, de sang, de sacrifices dans leur entraînement pour aller faire des combats d'arts martiaux mixtes pour un salaire qui est raisonnable, mais pas incroyable si le combattant n'a pas un autre travail en dehors de ça. Ce qu'ils ont pas mal tout, entre vous et moi. Mais bref. Et puis la régie va les tester pour des drogues récréatives qui, dans le pire des cas, vont juste rendre leur performance moins bonne si on vraiment consommait ça in competition, ce qui est absolument pas le cas. C'est juste que le pot, le THC, ça dure environ 90 jours dans le sang en général. C'est oui, il y a des gens qui ont des métabolismes plus rapides. Je connais des fighters qui ont fumé pendant 10 ans puis qu'ils arrêtent de fumer, crème un mois avant leur combat, même pas, puis ils testent à zéro, 6-0, double zero. Nothing. Puis je connais des gars qui peuvent arrêter de fumer 3 mois avant leur combat, puis ils vont encore avoir des résidus de THC dans leur test quand ils vont arriver au Fight Night, parce que c'est juste du monde que leur système métabolise moins vite ça, puis t'sais. Fait que ça dure longtemps dans le sang, c'est pas la régie peut pas comme prouver que t'as dit t'as c'était fumer un bat avant d'aller se battre, parce que c'est sûr qu'il est pas ça qui c'est sûr que c'est pas ça qui est arrivé, mais. C'est vraiment pas une bonne situation, c'est pas vraiment un bon look pour la régie, pour être franc avec vous, c'est. Puis, tu sais, oui, les combattants, tu sais, ça leur fait le cul de se faire mettre des disqualifications après avoir été gagné. Je pense que c'est peut-être cet aspect-là qui affecte le plus le combattant, mais moi, ce qui me révolte, c'est qu'ils prennent ça. Tu sais, même situation avec Todd Stott et Kada, même situation, l'athlète a juste à remettre un pourcentage de sa bourse, qui est. Mettons 50% ou moins, là, parce qu'il faut que tu remettes 85% de ta bourse comme la donne au complet. Mais 50% ou moins, là, il faut qu'il donne un pourcentage de ça. Puis oui, s'il fail pour les stéroïdes, là, je m'en crie, s'il enlève toute sa bourse, c'est ça, ça va de soi, mais c'est drôle. On n'en voit pas des tests de stéroïdes, on n'en voit jamais. Puis pourtant, c'est pas comme s'il n'y avait pas personne qui faisait de la sauce, là, entre vous puis moi, t'sais. Fait que, regarde, je veux pas me lancer dans d'autres sujets qu'on n'a pas envie de parler, là, pour être franc avec vous, mais je trouve ça vraiment déplorable de la part de la régie. Puis je m'en crie, s'ils écoutent ça, puis ils sont fâchés après moi, ça me dérange pas. Je trouve ça déplorable, puis je parle même pas, là, de la règle. Qui, oui, devrait changer, mais je parle pas de ça. La règle, c'est la règle, faut la respecter. Mais un coup, t'as pas respecté la règle. Comment tu veux enlever 100% du salaire à un gars qui travaille tellement fort là, pour ça? Puis il enlève 100% de sa calisse de paye parce qu'il a fumé du pot un mané avant son combat, genre une semaine, 2 mois. Chris, on le sait dessus, man. Puis, étrangement, ça arrive juste à des combattants qui font des bonnes payes. Donc, pensez à ça, puis bon podcast. Salut tout le monde, on est là avec Julian Robertson, qui a probablement une des meilleures performances là, à l'UFC 240 pour vous les parler de ça. So, what's up Julian, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, you know, still just coming off that great victory this weekend, and then I got great fight news too, so it's like I'm super hyped.
Yeah, for sure, man. Hey, what an amazing performance this weekend. I guess, man, did you like plan it to be to go that well? Like, did you plan the fight to go that well?
Of course, I always go there and I try to plan. I just try to enforce my will no matter what. Make sure it's my game plan 100%. Don't give her a chance to do anything she wants to do. I didn't expect a TKO. I definitely said I wanted to get more ground and pound in, so I'm happy that I did get a TKO. So it was awesome to be able to do that in front of the Canadian crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Last time we spoke, you told me I wanted to use more ground and pound in my last fight because I was looking back at the fight that you lost, and you kind of were trying some ground and pound, and you kind of get caught in that arm bar like while trying to ground and pound her. So last fight, you didn't use it that much, but this fight, man, it was, wow, it was amazing. Like the way you just took the position, how it was like, it was great because we saw that she was good on the ground. Obviously, when you found yourself on top of her, she was like real agile with her legs, and she seemed to be like exactly where she wanted to be, because we've seen her being real good on bottom in other fights. But damn, you just ran through her. You were patient. You didn't do like nothing stupid in the guard to get caught in the leg lock or stuff like that, and you just advanced your way. And when you had the chance, man, I think the first elbow just cut her wide open. So how were you feeling when you saw that? Like, first good elbow you land and slice her right open. And
honestly, when I first cut her in the first round, I surprised myself even. I didn't feel like I hit her that hard. And then I looked and I saw blood and I was like, oh shit, she's bleeding. Like, it surprised myself. But when I cut her the second time, I knew I did it. I knew I hit that elbow decent. I was in mount then. I was hitting some pretty hard elbows, so I knew the second one that it was a good one.
Yeah, man. When you look at the replay in slow motion, you can see the blood splatter everywhere. It was great. It was an amazing performance, man. Really, like, you were talking about that 50K performance. I feel like it was it. You just didn't get the 50K, which I feel like was, I wouldn't say a robbery because Neil did good too, but I feel like Neil almost got finished in his fight and then he came back and like it was good. It was entertaining, but I feel like performance of the night, it was clearly you and Akeem on that card for me.
It is what it is. I feel like there's a few times where I'm like, oh, I might get it, and I haven't gotten it. Hopefully this Macy Barber fight, that'll be the one. That'll be my 50K.
Yeah, but that's main card placement for sure, right?
Oh, 100%. I'm not, like, they haven't sent us the card yet, but I'm pretty sure a name like that, me and her versus each other, we have to be main card.
Yeah, because she's got some buzz, too. Like, people, I think they're kind of liking her. She's kind of cute. So, obviously, she's going to have, like, more fans. Like, I don't know why women's MMA usually works like that. The cuter you are, the more buzz you have early on in your career. And then it all falls through someday, like it pretty much did with Paige VanZant. I feel, I'm not trying to throw shade or anything, but yeah. So, I feel like she's coming off the contender. She has big wins and big TKO wins, and I feel like this is assured main card placement for that fight. So if you still have a performance like this, one day they're just not going to be able to deny you that 50K bonus.
Oh, 100%. I'm always going after it too. I'm always searching for the finish, always trying to, still for the UFC, I haven't seen a third round yet, so I'm trying to keep it that way.
Yup, and against Macy Barber, like, how does this matchup stack up? Because she feels like a big and strong girl. That's the thing I think I noted the most from her fights. She seems like, yeah, she's a good grappler, she's got good technique, but she mostly, like, bullies her opponents to the ground, and then she tries to smother them. But how do you feel you match up against, like, a girl that's maybe playing a bigger and stronger game than you, but that will probably try to grapple you either way?
Oh, I know a lot of people are bigger and stronger than me, but I can still beat them up. I can still beat them in a fight. That's all that matters. I feel like no girl in this division has a chance with me once it's on the ground. I have potential to take any girl out, and she's definitely going to be just be the next one in my path, you know? I feel like I'm going to be able to get my takedown. I'm going to be able to get to the ground. And she definitely has a lot of dangerous positions to offer. I feel like in the clinch, she's really strong. She's good with her elbows and her knees. But I feel like I'll be able to get into more dangerous positions. And I feel like it's definitely a finish for me.
Yeah, for sure, man. If she's standing in the clinch, man, that's giving you flying arm bars, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That, oh, man, that'd be so great. But still, man, that Sara Frota fight, it was such, like, perfect domination. I was surprised. Like, I knew that I had your favorite going in. I knew that you were a real good grappler, but I was wondering, man, she, like, Frota seems comfortable on her back. That's where she gave trouble to, what's her damn name? The Brazilian girl she fought before, whatever her name is. And, like, she gave her trouble, like, on the ground when she was on the bottom. So I was wondering, is that a type of fight that maybe you would be on top, you would dominate, but since she's a good black belt, she'd get out a submission out of her ass in the third round, and you can never know. But damn, you'd never let her the chance to do this. And like, it was real impressive because her last fight, even though I don't remember the name of the girl, I know she was an Invicta champion. It was at 115, but like, she was an Invicta champion. She was a girl that came into the UFC with kind of big hype, and Frota basically beat her in that fight. It was split decision, it was real close, but Frota basically beat her, and man, you just like whipped her all around and mopped the floor with her. So it was such a great performance that started the night good for Canadian fighters too.
Thank you so much. I definitely feel like it was one of my stronger performances, and to be able to do that in front of the Canadian crowd, just it was amazing. It was like the vibes out there were incredible.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'd love to let you talk, but I'm just buzzing about that performance. I love like people who go and just straight up fucking grapple, no time to waste, and show up killer performances like this on the ground. But the other thing I was seeing, you're doing the eye rollers in Miami.
I've done the MIA rollers in Miami. I haven't got a chance to compete with high rollers yet. Just honestly, I was supposed to do one of them last year, and then my fight schedule, I got a fight on 3 weeks notice, so I had to pull out of it. So I haven't got a chance to do high rollers yet, but I'm hoping to in the future.
Alright, that's my goal. I want to come to the US and do one of those someday and just win a fucking pound of weed.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm down to do that.
Yeah, for sure, man. And since here, and we're legal, man, in Canada too, so that'll be quite great to get the chance to bring some weed back home from, like, I feel like that's the ultimate goal. Like, you grapple and you win bunch of weed and you just fuck, man, that's the life.
Can't ask for anything more, right?
Yeah, exactly, man. And so the Miami rollers, like, it's like not the same thing as the eye rollers competition.
It's a different competition, but pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Just different people.
Okay. And do you win weed if you win?
Oh, yeah. And they helped me get my medical card from Florida, so.
Okay, yeah, because you need to. Oh, shit, that's real. That's not legal in Florida.
Yeah, it's not.
You guys are probably going to be one of the last ones to be quite.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, but here, like, I hope they, when it happens, I hope it's done well, because they did it here. But man, I don't know if it works like this in the US, but it really works like this in Canada. Like, there's always like federal law, but then they always give power to its provinces out here, but the states, let's say, they always give like more power to the states to regulate like on their own territory. So in Quebec, they gave power to the state that didn't want to do much with it, so they gave powers to the cities. And like most cities, they banned smoking weed in public, even though it's legal. And they give like time for people to rent, to adjust like the bells and shit, so that it's written that you can smoke in a rented apartment. So basically it's legal, but it's more illegal than ever, because you can't smoke outside, you can't smoke in your house if you're renting, and your owner, like the owner of the place, has specified that he doesn't want any weed like smoking inside his apartment. So basically it's legal, you can go and buy it and have it, but you can't smoke it nowhere if you're not like owner of a house.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely fucking crazy. But like, so that's what I'm saying, because I feel like we should have like listen to the, not listen, but look at what Colorado did and like what Washington did, and like it's going great out there, man. They got specified place when there can where they can smoke and shit, and like it's running smoothly here, man. We like the fucking weed store from the government, which is the only place you can legally buy it. Like they needed to close half the week because they didn't have enough weed for everybody.
Oh.
So it was just like we were so rushing to get it legal that it was so poorly planned, man. It was like quite awful. And now they're trying to readjust and shit, but man, I feel like it's not great.
Yes.
Yeah. So you are you like, I know I won't put you in any trouble, but how big of a weed smoker are you?
I definitely partake every day before and after training. I feel like it helps. It helps with, sometimes with motivation if my body's sore, you know, it gets me out of bed, gets me moving.
Yeah, no, I feel the same. And people like in the gym, they're always, I mean, I can't believe like how you're doing, like you smoke before rolls, and how can you do? But shit, I feel like I'm more concentrated. Like I'm when I roll without smoking, I roll more on instinct, and I'm
I
not.
feel like
Yeah,
I feel
go
like
ahead.
everybody's different. Some people they're better with it, some people they're better without it. And I definitely feel like I'm more focused when I smoke before I train.
Yeah, for sure. Because when I smoke, I just think more about my shit and what my techniques and what I'm trying to do. And like naturally, I'm not that athletic. I'm not that explosive. I'm more of a like a bottom player who likes to like let the action come forward, and I can counter you on your shit. And that's more how I roll. And I'm a real flexible guy too, so I'm good on bottom. But I feel like when I smoke, like all my techniques, I put them in like different compartments, and it's like. It's easier to me to think about like my next move and how I'm gonna set this shit up, or compared to like when I'm not smoking, I'm just like going on instinct, and my instinct sucks, man. I'm just not that good of an athlete.
I
Yup. I wanted to talk too about a fight that's coming up this weekend, cause like your gym is basically the headline, like the selling point of that fight. It is Robbie Lawler and Colby Covington, and like Colby's kind of putting the ATT team on his back. And but I know how can I say it? He's a special guy. So I wanted to know, do you have a relationship with Colby Covington? And if so, like how are your interactions with this guy?
I honestly don't really. I don't know. ATT is such a huge gym.
Yeah.
I've never really talked to Colby. I don't really know him. It's like we literally have our pro team is probably about 100 people at least, and then we have like more and more classes every day. So it's like ATT is so huge. So I've never really interacted with Colby.
Okay. Did have you like listened a little bit to the pre-fight build-up? Do you know what it's about?
No, not a lot. I haven't.
Yeah, okay. So
I've been so focused on my own fight recently. It's just like I've been in a tunnel there.
yeah, no, okay, I get it, man. So the other thing I wanted to ask, you're fighting in October now, so does that give you time like to relax and eat food a little bit?
That's gonna give me. Well, this week I'm planning it. This is the only week where I'm really stepping off my diet, relaxing, because I can't really train anyway. My body's like just. I feel like I got in a fight last week, you know? My body's achy, I feel sore, so I'm just giving it this week, relaxing a little bit and training light, not moving too hard, and then next week I'm gonna start picking up the work.
Yeah, I saw you even training the gi. How often do you get your gi out?
I love to train in the gi, but honestly, I don't get an opportunity a lot of times now. It's like I feel like I'm always in fight camp, so it's just always focused on no gi, always focused on the next fight.
Yup. And what have you planned like as meals? Like what are your go-to like now that you can eat, now that you've probably been waiting a while to eat that shit? So what are you gonna eat?
Oh, it's just everything bread. I love like I have to cut out bread usually first thing to keep my weight down. So I love bread. That's the best.
Oh man, for sure. I've been like I'm my jiu-jitsu team is Nova União. I'm with Nova União in Canada. So we had once a year we've got like a big team training, everybody from all around Canada, and even people from Brazil or North United States, they all come to Toronto, and like we have a huge training camp and like I like diet wise this year I've been real bad, like real bad. I'm just so out of weight. If there was a tournament, like I'd probably have to go heavyweight, like really, because I'm so fucking fat and I just lost my diet. So I was trying to get back into my diet for that training camp because I say I'm going there. I'm representing the team from Quebec. I don't want to come in like too fat, too disgusting, and just have no cardio and not be able to roll well. So I dieted to just get my weight down a little bit for that training camp. And when we got there, we had a dinner at a Brazilian restaurant like in Toronto, and man. I calculated my shit wrong, man. I didn't play my cards well. It like I know if you know it how it's working. It's a buffet, and then people they come like with meat basically to your table, and they cut some meat into your plate, and you basically can't say no. But man, I got into the buffet. I've been eating well for like maybe 2 weeks, and I went like straight into the bread and pasta, man. That was like an awful move, because I was full after my plate and I couldn't say no to any meat, so I almost died that night.
I almost died.
Yeah, and I ate like before I had eaten a 140 milligram brownie, so it was such an experience. But man, I feel like my stomach didn't like it that much, like the wheat brownies and the pastas and the bread, the beginning, and fuck. That was a rough night, and a rough day, and a rough day at training the other day, and the day after, that was awful. So Brad, you like desserts too, like cake, you like shit like that, or more of a.
Yeah, but I feel like it's just really like cutting carbs. Like, is it, I have to be so strict to make 125. You know, I'm usually walking around like 140, so to be able to get down there, it's like I just have to cut everything. So then, whenever I can't eat food, it's just bread's my favorite thing.
Yeah, for sure. Bread is so good. Oh shit, man, I'm sore. Sorry about that. I just like had something going through my neck. I don't know why. And it's fucking hot outside too. But okay, Macy Barber fight, how does it end? Like before I let you go, how does that shit end? Which type of amazing finish you get out of your pocket, like again this time?
Oh, no matter what, I'm always taking it to the ground, and I'm always looking for the throat. Like, that's my, even with Sarah Frodo, that was my goal. If I get a TKO before that comes, then that's what happens. But I'm always hunting for the throat.
For sure. And I guess you're ranked after that win. Is she ranked? Is Macy
Yeah, she's
ranked?
ranked number 12.
Oh shit. How come? She fought like two times in the UFC.
Don't ask me. I'm not ranked, so I have no idea.
Yeah, so okay, I guess you're ranked after that fight. So man, once you're ranked, what's next? How many fights you need to get to that title?
I'm assuming two or three, and then it'll be my shot. You know, I'll be up there by a year and a half, no doubt.
And I guess you guess that Valentina's still gonna be there.
Oh, I'm assuming that much.
And how do you prepare for a matchup like this? Because she's a monster, right?
I feel like no matter what, I'm a monster too. I have a unique submission skill set, and I feel like a lot of girls don't know how to defend what I have to offer.
Man, that's amazing. That's what we like to hear. So, man, thank you once again. It's always very generous of you to take the time to speak with us. And man, I guess we'll probably get to speak after that next fight to see what's up and what's next for you. Thank you very much,
No
Jillian.
problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, bye. Salut, on est de retour avec un autre invité poids lourd dans l'UFC, Jeff Hughes, UFC heavyweight. How you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm happy to have you, especially today, 'cause we'll get to talk about your fight in Canada, in Vancouver, that's coming up. Big matchup on that card. But we'll also get to talk about what happened yesterday, because I think it was kind of a big day for your gym, for one of your teammates who did real well on the Contender Series. So since it's fresh in everybody's mind, let's talk about it. Your teammate, Alexa Kimura, he was on the Contender Series yesterday, and man, he flying knee KO'd a dude. Basically, it was amazing. It was a great performance all around. So man, what about his performance and like having the chance for you to be able to be training with big guys like this? Because you've got plenty big guys in your gym, especially we all know you've got Stipe, you've got you, you've got Alexa. So how about his performance and how about like the chance that you got to be training with those big, good guys every day in the gym?
Well, for one, his performance I thought was great. He never has an issue in a fight, and that's good because he's so good. But he gets a little nervous before a fight, and he had no nerves for this fight, and that was, you can tell he's maturing as a fighter, and I was very happy with his performance, and the flying knee was amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And for you, man, to be able to train with these guys, like with a guy like Alexa, a guy with Stipe, how does that help your game? Because we all know heavyweight is not the deepest division, so to have the chance to have these good, high-caliber UFC-level guys that are all near your weight, like every day with you, how does that add up to your game?
Oh, it's been, ever since I've been to the gym, I started going to Strong Style MMA like 2 years ago. Stipe was the champion at the time, and it's just made me so much better. It's hard to find heavyweight training partners, and I have two of the best in the world, you know, and one's a light heavyweight, but he hangs, and there's just not an easy round in the gym, you know. There's no taking a break, because either of those guys will clean your clock if you're not ready.
Yeah, man, that's such a big advantage, and for you to be able to gain like all experience from these guys, and you giving some of your experience to these guys is such a great thing. So now you're going to be fighting in Vancouver, man, against Todd Duffy. My first question is, what and who is 2019 Todd Duffy? Like, what are you expecting?
You know, all the only thing we can go off of is his old fights. He hasn't fought in quite some time. I think anyway, if I implement my game plan, I think it's going to be enough to beat him. It might not be in the first 30 seconds like most of his fights. It could be all three rounds. I'm not sure. It's like, that's part of the fighting, the game. And, you know, I'm very excited for this fight. I think one way or another, I'm going to get the W.
Yeah, and it's a big opportunity for you because you lost your first UFC fight. We can talk about it like maybe a little bit later. It was such a frustrating fight, but now in your second UFC fight, you get the chance to fight a guy that, no, he's not on a good streak. He's not even active, but everybody knows Todd Duffy. Everybody who's been watching UFC for the past like 5 to 10 years, they've seen a Todd Duffy knockout. They've seen a Todd Duffy fight. They've seen like how it ends up when he's fighting. So how big is it of an opportunity it is for you to be able like to get that guy at this stage of his career, at this stage of your career too, you know?
Oh, I think it's a great opportunity. I remember being 20 years old watching him fight and realizing he was only, you know, 4 years older than me, and I was looking at him like, hey, this is where I want to be in 4 years. Well, it didn't happen in 4 years, but it happened, and I made it to the UFC. My first fight didn't go as planned, but, you know, it was debatable if I won or not. And I thought when they gave me the opportunity to fight Todd Duffy, I never turned down a fight, but I was like, I was happy because I know this is, if I beat him, I'm on the right path.
Yeah, let's just talk a little bit about your first fight, because yeah, it was a weird decision, but it was a weird fight too. I feel like if people have seen your fight on the Contender Series and your fight before, you've been a champion, you've even defeated that same Maurice Greene guy in a title fight before. So what, like, now in retrospect, now that it's happened and it's been a while, what do you take away from a frustrating fight like this?
I was so used to training for a 5-round fight when I was fighting in the LFA, and with a 5-round fight, your pace doesn't have to be as fast, and you can almost lose that first round. In the UFC, the 3-round fights, man, you can't take a round off, or you can't ease into it. You have to go that first round. You have to win that first round. You know, I'm sure if they did, you know, I'm sure there's a study or whatever. People that win the first round probably most of the time wins the fight if it goes to decision. So yeah, we can't pace ourselves this fight. You know, we just gotta let it fly.
Yeah, for sure, and we can probably bet, because like I've been saying, we don't really know how is Todd Duffy and what he's up to in 2019. It's been such a while, but if it is to expect, if he's still the same guy, that he's gonna come out guns blazing. Like, he's not gonna let you be passive in that first round.
Right. It's gonna be, I have a feeling it's gonna be from the bell. It's just gonna be a war until one of us goes down.
Yup, and you've kind of proven to be a real durable guy, real tough guy, that, like you've been saying, you're used to five-round fights. You can be in a five-round fight tomorrow, and you'll be all right. You'll have no cardio issues. You know how to pace yourself, so you're a durable guy. You're a tough guy. We have not seen you, like, in trouble that much in your career. You lost a weird decision, but, man, it happens. Todd Duffy, he either knocks a guy out cold or he gets knocked out cold. So
yep. Against
against a durable guy like you, he may be in for a tough night out if he thinks he's gonna be able to knock you out in the first minute of the fight.
I think that's his plan. I don't know, obviously, but I'm ready for it. You know, whatever he brings to the table, I'm ready for it.
Yup, and I know you guys, like, you don't want to look too far into the future, because you still got to come to Vancouver and fight, and you still got a well-known guy in front of you, but I expect that you expect to win that fight. So after that win, like, what's next for Jeff Hughes?
Man, I don't know. Hopefully they give me a fight, you know, I get a quick turnaround, and everything goes well in Vancouver, and I'm on a card again a couple months after that. You know, I'm in this to fight. I'm 31 years old. You know, I'm not getting any younger, so I'm here to fight. It's my favorite thing in the world to do. So they keep giving me fights, and I stay healthy, then, you know, I'm their guy. I will never turn down a fight.
Yep, for sure, man. And, like, I got to tell you, man, I'm so sad to – because I'm going once a year, I go on a fishing trip, and it's far down deep in the woods, and I don't have access to no signal, no anything. And this year, man, I planned it from August 10th to August 18th, so I'll be missing the Stipe fight. I'll be missing the Stipe rematch. So I deep inside, I just want to cry, like, in my bedroom all day, because, man, it's such an amazing fight. It's such a fascinating fight. So I wanted to know, how is Stipe doing right now? How's the training going? Because, man, it's probably the best card of the year with all the fights that they put into this card. It's an amazing rematch, a huge fight, and one of the cards that I was looking forward to, even though I'm gonna fucking miss it. So how is Stipe doing? Like, how is his training going for him and everything?
I gotta be completely honest with you. Stipe is looking better than ever. You know, he's fighting to get his belt back, and he's trying to make something in his legacy is the greatest of all time, which, in my opinion, he is. Not only because he's my teammate, but he just, in my opinion, he really is the best. It sucks going with him, you know, going 3, 4, 5 rounds with him. It's miserable. It makes me better. I'm trying to make him better, you know. He's really the best teammate I can have. And, man, I would not want to be DC come August 17th.
Man, we can see how good Stipe, how good of a guy he is. Just when we was looking at the Contender Series, and your Alexis fight is not even done, that he's calling Dana saying, man, gotta pick my teammate, man, after this. And so you see that he's a team guy, he's a good guy, and, like, he's one of the most likable characters. I'll always remember when he won the belt, and he was outside the cage and yelling, I'm a world champion. It was amazing. It was one of my favorite moments, like, in most years. So I know DC's good, but I feel like we can't say a knockout is a lucky knockout, but he clipped him, and Stipe just didn't see it coming, and it ended quickly, I guess. Like, we didn't see that fight yet. We don't know how it's gonna play out. I'm, like, my guess, I don't really know who I'm picking for that fight even, because, man, DC clipped him, he had him early, and he won it. He won clean, but, like, how is it going to play out if it goes to the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth? Because we know Stipe is good to go all day. DC is basically good to go all day, too, as we know him. But he's getting older, too. He's past 40 now. So I feel like this matchup is so fascinating. And I guess we'll get to see it for real this time. I hope so.
Yes, for sure. I don't see the same outcome. I don't see the same fight at all. I think, you know, when you're a heavyweight, those 4 ounce gloves, man, it only takes a little bit to knock you out. So, I mean, it was a perfect shot, well timed. Some people call it lucky, whatever you want, but I mean, he meant to throw it and he threw it and it landed, and, you know, props to him. But I just don't see it happening again. I really don't.
Yep. I'm so first thing I'll do when I get out the woods is probably just find a way to stream it on my phone and just see how it went. Because, man, when you're like, I covered this sport, but I'm like the most hardcore of all hardcore fans. I love like each and every fighter. So, man, missing that fight is like the most painful thing, man, ever.
Yeah, it's a part of the year for sure.
Yeah. So, man, I guess I'll let you go. It was a great time. And I thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today. I wish you good luck on your Vancouver fight. We'll be watching closely, even though it's like basically at the opposite end of Canada of where I am. It's still in Canada, so we'll be watching closely.
Awesome. And, awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. I will get to speak again.
All right, sounds good.
Cool, man. Bye.
See ya.
Bon, c'était le podcast cette semaine. J'espère que vous avez apprécié ma petite rant et puis les entrevues avec Jillian Robertson et Jeff Hughes. Thanks a lot to both of you guys for taking the time to speak with me, and it was great. I'm looking forward to both of your fights, and I hope we'll get the chance to speak again afterwards to discuss the experience that you've guys been through. So, c'était ça pour le Fabercast. Suivez-moi sur les médias sociaux, sur Facebook, MMA Talk sur YouTube, MMA Talk sur Instagram, The MMA Talk, THE, évidemment, sur Twitter, The_MMA Talk, et finalement au MMAtalk.ca, le plus magnifique site internet de nouvelles d'MMA au monde.